Hey, welcome back to more Writers After Dark. I am Summer Brooks, and my guests right now are Joe R. Lansdale and his daughter Casey, the talented country music singer who has also dabbled in horror writing. Thank you both for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Now, the Dana Roberts Casebook of Horrors is the latest collection of short stories about the supernormal detective. Now, how did we go from supernatural to supernormal?
Well, when I was doing it, I wanted, and actually the book is called Terror is Our Business, and Casebook kind of a secondary title in case anybody's looking for it. But when I was coming up with it originally, because I came up with Dana Roberts, I wanted her to be somebody that was dealing with paranormal events, but they were supernormal to her, meaning they just hadn't been proven scientifically yet, but they would. That meant we were open to dimensional demons, other worlds, all kinds of stories that way. So it wasn't just about supernatural or tied into any one, theology or legend. So I wanted it to be really open and for it to be almost anything and have Dana as a non-believer in the supernatural, but a believer that there were supernormal events that happened that were yet to be explained by science, but could be over time.
And for me, he just already kind of created that precedent. So when I brought in my character, we just continued with it. Made sense to just let the already established verbiage carry on.
The thing I like about it is she's skeptical of the supernatural, the paranormal, but she's also open to, yeah, somebody did see it, something, we just don't have the science down pat to explain it. That the fact that she's skeptical but open to it is refreshing to me.
Well, thank you. When I invented Dana, she was a drier, more old-fashioned throwback to the kind of stories I read when I was young about, psychic detectives and what have you. And I wanted to modernize it. And usually it was always guys at some club or something. So I had the club format, but I brought in Dana, a female investigator, which, I don't believe I'd seen that in those kind of stories in the past anyway. And I did that for four stories. And then Casey and I got asked to do a story, and she had this terrific idea and this terrific voice that she had, used to write about this character, Jenna. And so she wrote several pages, and I wrote a few more. And before I knew it, we had a story. Well, we liked that character so much, and Casey's voice was so strong and so funny that we thought, well, you know what? These two characters would really play off of each other well, and then Casey took it from there.
I don't know what to say. Yes, agree.
that's right. And we just, we just kept that voice instead of the original voice of Dana telling the stories, because it was just far more interesting with Jana. I keep getting it. We didn't think that out because we didn't know the two characters were going to go together.
When we wrote them, we didn't know that they were going to cross universes. So I was saying Jana, he had Dana, and then I don't even remember exactly what happened, but I remember that when we turned the story in, the original story with Jana in it called Blind Love, the editor said that he had thought about having us go back and kill that character. And but he said he liked her voice so much, he kind of wanted to see what she would do from there. So that sort of encouraged to want to have
her. We weren't going to kill her anyway.
We wanted to spare her. Yeah, no, we wouldn't. But I mean, it's because we sort of spared her. I sort of thought the mentality of wanting to see her move forward inspires me to want to do that quicker. And I think that was sort of, for me, a driving force, because I thought, yeah, you know what, he's right. I wonder what that would look like.
Well, there were far much better stories when Casey's character came in and blended in, and I think Casey made them better stories, too, just by the control of the character and the voice of Jana telling those stories. I believe it made it less dry, and it was able, and we were able to stand back and look at Dana in a different way, which made her more interesting. And I think that the play between them was terrific. So, I've always appreciated Casey coming up with that character, because it turned out to give us, I think, a more interesting look at the kind of cases that Dana Roberts does, although she's still the kind of Sherlock Holmes, where Jenna is still the Watson type character, if you want to use that comparison. That's the closest I can come to it at the moment. Anyway, or like the old William Hope Hodgson stories, the Carnacki stories, is what they remind me of a little too.
Yeah, the blend of, I guess, character flavors is really apparent in the stories that you two collaborated on. And then I'm wondering, are there more stories coming along that are featuring Dana and Jana? I like any more short stories, any more novellas, any more like any novels in the
opera? Well, I don't know how much we can say, but it's definitely all of the things you said and more are moving forward with both Dana and Jana together. So we're kind of excited to see how that's all going to play out.
And there is at this point possible TV interest. We don't know where it will go, but you know, that's kind of neat. There's also some comic interest. And again, those are things that may or may not happen, but I wouldn't mention it if the interest wasn't serious enough. And if nothing else, the interest indicates to us that those characters have a life beyond these stories. And so certainly we are considering, as Casey said, one and all of those options.
Well, and it's funny because I don't think that we expected these characters to hit the way they did with certain people. And it's been really fascinating to kind of pull back and see what everybody thought about the characters individually, because they each got their own moment. And then how everybody seems to sort of agree that when they came together is when the sweet spot happened, because then you can kind of, you know, they each bring out the best and worst in each other that you don't really get to explore when it's them individually.
And I think it's more of a kind of a Lansdale trait, because in most of my other stories, humor is a big part of it. And it's not that the Dana stories don't have some humor, but they don't have the same kind of humor or as much of it. So the humor in some ways makes the horror more horrible, but it also allows you to deal with it in a more fun way. And so these aren't the darkest of horror. They're clever stories that I think involve two interesting women trying to find their place in the world, and at the same time trying to help other people survive. And when we did put them together, as Casey said, that was the sweet spot. And I think we were both, had fun doing them, but I think we not only were excited about the book coming out, but we were even more excited by the response that we got, as Casey said, and how these people reacted to these characters and how they developed a passion for them right off. And that, you know, of course, that's encouraging.
For me, it's a lot of fun. I was very, very intrigued by these stories. I literally devoured most of them in one night. And you'd think after all these years, I would learn not to start reading a book at 11 o'clock at night, because then I'm up all night.
I did that last night, dang it.
But these characters, they're so resilient. They're smart. They have a little bit of luck here and there, but they're prepared. Mm-hmm. They research the possibilities, and that sort of attention to character detail, like how a character would go about, okay, this sounds kind of freaky, but I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon of the obvious just yet. And that sort of critical thinking, analytical deductions, that appeals to a reader like me. I like to see it in my stories. I like to see it in, you know, what I watch on TV. And that's, I think, is the appeal of this sort of character. And yeah, I would love to see a TV show about this.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know,
we hope
it happens. Yeah, we would too. Tuning in.
Yeah, and I think it's nice that you say all that. I mean, really, because I think a lot of like Jana is very much my personality. And I think the way that Dana approaches things as sort of a skeptic but open to possibility, I think, is very much both of our personalities. And I think that's why when Dad created her, it's just kind of the way he views the world. And I think that I kind of follow suit in that.
Yeah. And we both, when we're turned loose, we both have a sense of humor. Most of my work is known for its sense of humor, like the Happ and Leonard series and so on. And in a way, these are not a Happ and Leonard relationship, but they are a a sort of what they used to call the Mutt and Jeff relationship, with people that are very, very different from one another, who are put into a position where they have to deal with one another and learn to respect one another, even if they don't exactly get into the same camp entirely. You know, I think that was always true about Holmes and Watson, you know, that they learned where they could find their compartment, where the two of them could coexist, but there was always going to be a difference in how Sherlock saw things and how Watson saw things. And so, you know, there was that element there too. And you can use all kinds of oddball team-ups as an example.
Well, and it's been fun for me because so many people do know Dad's Happ and Leonard series, and they know his humor and the dynamics of his work. And so it's been fun for me to kind of have my voice and people be able to recognize the difference, kind of say, oh, you can see where she came in and you can see where he was, and you can see that some of it's blended. And, you know, I really enjoy that it's got both of our different voices, but also it blends really well, I think.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I don't just say this because Casey's my daughter, but there is no doubt that she really gave those stories a fire that I think that they needed to grow. You know, I think that had I written just those four Dana Roberts, and I don't think there would have been a fifth one, but when we wrote that story together, I just went, Casey, you know what? I think these two characters go together. And then I had said that, and then somebody wanted us to you know, write another story, and we just got to thinking, well, let's do this novella, and so on and so on, and one thing led to another. And I have to say that now that we finished and the book's coming out, I'm sort of starting to miss those people. And I always know that that's a sign that I'm wanting to get back to them, so I'm starting to miss those two characters. What are they doing right now? What's going on in their world?
Nice. So what's the brainstorming process on coming up with the case that they're going to work on? Because you have to get something that's one foot in the supernatural, one foot in the mundane, that can go either way to sort of, you know, lead the reader along until it's solved. How do you pick what that creature or situation is going to be?
Slowly. I was thinking, it seems like we sort of throw out a couple of, I know that we threw out some false starts. See, I'm used to working with myself. I don't normally collaborate. And I'll be honest, in case you'll tell you this, I don't like collaborating. But I found that with her and with my son, I can actually do it comfortably. But before, and I'm still not eager to do it because I'm so much, I do it my way. I've been doing it my way for a long damn time. But when I started collaborating with my son on screenplays and comics, I found that we could do it. And when I started collaborating with Casey on stories, I found that we could do it. But, you know, we go back and forth. And you know what? I've learned a lot working with her. I've learned a lot of things that I needed to relearn in some ways, because you go back and just trying to tell her what I'm doing sometimes, I think, helps her. And then her telling me and explaining to me, Dad, that happened back in prehistoric days. We don't really do that anymore, you know. And so we were able to bring it up date, and I think we were able to teach each other things, and I think we were able to bring different elements. And but I feel so proud of Casey, because there is no doubt in my mind that when we put those together, that's her voice. She took the lead, and I appreciate that. And we'll come up with ideas, and we'll bump up against them. We'll go, no, that's not working. And then she'll write something, and I'll throw out all the good stuff she loves, and then I'll send it back, and she'll throw out all the good stuff I love, and then eventually we find a place where we both love it. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, we kind of, you know, it seems like we talk about it a little bit, and we kind of start it, and then we send it back and forth, and it just kind of, you know, actually mold it until it starts to look like a cup. And then once we have the framework, then we go, okay, we know where we're going. But the beginning seems to be a slow burn, but once it gets there, it's, you know, wildfire.
Yeah. Yeah, once we know what we're doing, and we also have a lot of things, when I write for myself, I don't plot, I just start writing. And so that when you're working together, though, you can't do that, because the other person needs to know at least to some degree what it is you're doing. And so that the two of you don't ride in opposite directions, which has happened, you know, because we think we know what the other one's thinking. But once we find that sweet spot, it gets easy. We know that we're into the story then, and that we're enjoying the high of creating. And, you know, I give it a polish. Casey gives it a polish, and then we swap it back and forth as much as we think we need to. And if she has questions on things, I mean, I have a little bit more experience, quite a bit more experience, and I'll give my, notes, if you would say. But on the other hand, I always think that a new writer, and she's not an absolutely new writer, she's been published, before and quite a bit, but a new writer sometimes brings a perspective that you don't have, that you don't see anymore, and or that it's become such a part of you that you think you have it, but it's been descending into the mire. And so then you have somebody fishing that out or making you aware of it, and I think it gives a kind of glory to the story that might not have been there. So I appreciate that. And I think it's been very invigorating for both of us.
Yeah, I mean, I've been able to kind of watch him because he's got a slow and steady pattern and kind of like emulate the pattern and learn the system, but I can also bring my voice to it and then back and forth. So mm-hmm. I think each, hand washes the other, if you will.
Which part?
Yeah, I do too.
Which part do you think is the most fun or the most challenging? Figuring out how the case is going to unfold or how the characters are going to approach the case? Like what are they going to bring of themselves to solving this riddle?
I think for me, the most challenging is sort of finding out where they're going to go with it. But as soon as we find it, then that's the fun part. I think it's just, I think, again, it has to do with the collaborative effect because we both kind of have in our brains where we think it should go. And then sometimes that doesn't match. And then you kind of have to, pull back and forth until you get to the same place. So that can be more difficult. But then I think as soon as you get that, then you're like, okay, we have the end goal. So now we just let our characters, do the rest.
Mm-hmm. I think the easiest part is the characters' interaction. I think we naturally are able to make those characters interact in a way that is interesting and pleasant. And I've always had the belief that if you make the characters believable, the plot, though certainly it's important, it's not as much importance as you think, because it's not just a wind-up plot. It's not just a mystery with everything hooks together. It's these people that you're interested in and what it is they're doing and how they're approaching this problem and how they're eventually solving it and how it affects them, And I don't want to overwrite these in that way, because we're trying to write very fun stories where people have a good time. But we also want those two characters to seem enticing and interesting and realistic. And I think that part actually comes fairly natural for both of us. It's fairly easy. I think that the hard part, as Casey said, is figuring out what this story is about, what kind of plot is involved here, and how these two characters with their own, characteristics, their own preferences, will come together to find a solution, a denouement.
Well, and it's just there's this quote. I mean, this is a little hokey, but just to get the point across, there's the Maya Angelou quote. People will forget what you did, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And I think that's sort of the idea. It's like
mm-hmm.
if you connect with the characters, then you may not remember exactly what the characters did, but you remember that you have an affection for this character, or you can empathize with this character. And that's what people really take away, even if they don't remember the full details of the story.
And once we let Janet take the lead, she was also the Southern character, and it was a little less, clear where Dana came from. But with Janet, sure, she's a Southern girl, and also that's more our natural voice, and it's the way sentences are put together. And there's some of these things. I always said you've got to know the rules to know how to break them, and it's necessary to break them when you're writing in a more naturalistic voice. And Janet's someone that, if she sees something weird, she goes, damn, that's weird. Where, Dana might look at that and go, well, it depends on your perspective, but not for the other character. Janet's like, oh, no, that's weird. That looks very, very funky to me. So she has a totally different view. And it makes for this great book ending and collision between the two.
Yeah, the characters, how they interact, how they behave, how they change or change their minds or grow, that is what people remember long after this. Like, well, no, I remember this person did this, but I don't remember what they were working on. But it doesn't matter because it's what they did in that moment. And these two characters have definitely stepped into that realm for me. I'm looking forward to seeing more stories of them, whether they be in graphic novel format, TV series, shorts. I have to ask, just because I wonder if somebody's teasing us, the cover of the book, the artist's impression of Dana standing in the pentacle. She looks a lot like Jeri Ryan with attitude. Was that on purpose?
You know who that is in that? That's Casey.
Really?
That's me.
They just took a photograph of her.
We sent my photo, and they did their artist interpretation.
Well, I have to say, it looks like you were channeling a very annoyed Jeri Ryan in that.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see
that's
that for sure. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. We always, you know, you assume that that's probably Dana because, you know, she's still the head of the thing. But the way I looked at it is it could be either one of the characters that people wanted to fill in their minds.
Right.
And, but the, since Casey invented her character and brought it in, and she's so much like that character in so many ways, that we thought, oh, that would be funny, and they took a photograph of Casey and used it as their, you know, their background for the art.
Well,
but
I
mean, so with Jeri Ryan, that doesn't suck.
it looks like one of the poses she did for one of those TV shows. I can't remember Body of Proof, where she was in a medical examiner's office in Philadelphia. It just reminds me of this. She had this classic, I'm annoyed with everybody here because you're all geeks and you're messing with me right now, look on her face.
Yeah, well, that fits. It certainly fits.
I love that.
Well, that's exactly who I first thought of, but I'm glad to find out that it's you. Now, what else are you guys working on, and are you making any appearances at conventions or film festivals during the summer?
Why don't you go first?
Dad,
you want to start? Oh, I can. Oh, I will then. I am going to be at ArmadilloCon in Austin in August, early August, and I'm going to be at KillerCon also in August in Austin. And I have a new book out, Jack Rabbit Smile, so I'll go right straight to that advertisement. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on a number of other things, including a Christmas with the Dead musical based on the film that was based on my short story. And we got a couple of other things that are in the wings that I don't want to mention yet because they're still sort of in the creative form. But I have a new Happ and Leonard novel coming out next year, as well as Jack Rabbit this year. I have The Elephant of Surprise.
Excellent.
That comes out next year.
Yeah, and for me, the next 2 months are all about the Terror is Our Business book tour. We're doing Arizona, California, Texas, and I'll be at the KillerCon in August I'll be in KillerCon in Austin at the end of August, and some other projects that I'm working on independently. Some of those are film related. Some of those are writing related. Some of them are music related. I'm keeping busy with all that, but my next 2 months focus is definitely going to be letting people know about Terror and letting them know the characters and getting out and getting to meet people who are enjoying the work.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Well, I will definitely do my part to promote Terror
Thank
is
you.
Our Business because I enjoyed it.
That's
well, I'm
great.
Glad
Thank
you did, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much today for your time.
You are welcome, and thank you for taking your time to have our time.
Okay, we will have links to both their websites, the Facebook pages, and where you can obtain your own copy of Terror is Our Business. And are the book tour dates available where people can get their copy signed?
Yeah. I just put
them
on my
go ahead, Casey.
Fan page, and I posted them on Dad's Facebook fan page. It's going to be about 2 weeks in mid-July, 2 weeks in end of August, but again, all available on the fan pages.
Oh, and there's one other thing I want to add. Is July the 31st, we have the ebook edition is making its debut.
That's right.
Excellent. Will there be an audio?
They saved it back. We hope so. And if there is, I think we know somebody that may be doing the audio because Casey does audio books.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. There's hope for that. So, fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed, yeah.
Great. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. And we will be back with more Writers After Dark right after this.
Adios.
And yes, as I said during the interview, this is a collection that is well worth checking out. When the audiobook hits, I'm definitely going to check that out too. So that's it for now. If you want to get in touch with Writers After Dark or comment to me, ask a question, you can use the form on the website to send me an email or call and leave a voicemail. The number is 602-635-6976. Yes, it's the same number as Slice of Sci-Fi. We're all one big, happy, podcasting bunch of sci-fi geeks, addicts, horror fans. You name it, we're here. You can listen to Writers After Dark on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on TuneIn. You can definitely leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. That will help other folks find the show. Let them know that you enjoy it, and maybe they will too. You can check us out on Twitter. We're at Write After Dark over there. And of course, the website is writersafterdark.com. You can come leave a comment, a review, rating of your own on the reviews we've done on the site so far. And of course, check out other shows, other interviews that we've done so far. But that will definitely do it for this episode. See you next time. And remember, keep looking for your own stories.